Book of Jonah chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 1 and read through verse 3. Verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, for he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we love you this morning. And Father, again, I'm just asking that you would give me the grace to speak the word of the Lord. Father, I know this is your heart. I know, God, in that time of prayer and just seeking you for a word for this morning, God, it was your voice that came to my heart and just began to speak some things, Lord. And I pray that you would just give me the grace to speak in love and in boldness those things that are upon your heart. God, I'm asking that you will give my brothers and sisters grace to hear the word of the Lord. God, they would look past the frailty of flesh. They would look past the frailty of this vessel, Lord. And God, that they would truly hear your voice speak into their heart. God, we love you with all of our hearts. And we give you glory and honor for everything that you're doing within our life. We thank you, God. You are doing a good work within our lives. And we thank you, Lord. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. A closed heart. For just a moment, I want to talk to you about a word that we hear a lot in the body of Christ, and that's the word brokenness. We hear the word brokenness a lot in the body of Christ. We hear people say things like, we as vessels of the Lord, we need to be a people who are broken. We as vessels of the Lord, there are just seasons and times in our life where we need to go through seasons of brokenness and really allowing the Lord to work within our heart. And so I just want to talk to you a minute just about this word brokenness. You know, there's a few good ways that we can define and explain brokenness, a few good ways, but I believe probably one of the best definitions of brokenness I've ever heard personally is simply this. Brokenness is simply giving things over to the Lord. It's things in our heart, issues in our heart, that when they rise up and when they surface in our heart and our life, we recognize that they're other than Christ, that it's not God's heart, it's not God's ways. And so by faith, we take these issues and we take these things that rise up and surface in our heart and give them over to the Lord. You know, as we walk with God in this Christian walk, there are times things that are going to surface in our heart. There's going to be times when pride's going to surface in our heart. There's going to be times when anger's going to surface in our heart. There's going to be times when our envy and our jealousy will surface in our heart. And it's God's desire that when we see these things surface in our heart, we recognize, you know, that this is not the heart of Christ. This is not after His heart. This is not of God's nature. It's not of His character. And so in faith, we take these things and we give them over to the Lord. We see these things in our heart and we say, Lord, this is not your heart. God, I'm asking you to cleanse me. God, I'm yielding to you my heart. And God, I'm asking you to do a work in this area of my life, God, and bring change. That, to me, is what brokenness is, and it's one of the best definitions that I've heard of brokenness. There are going to be times in our lives when God will allow certain situations to come into our lives because the Lord wants to get at things in our heart. There are going to be times God will allow circumstances and situations to come into our lives because there are things in our hearts that He wants to surface. And when we see these things come up in our heart, again, we simply need to give these things over to the Lord. We need to say, Lord, this isn't your heart. This isn't your nature. And so, God, by faith, I'm giving this to you, Lord. By faith, I'm asking you to cleanse me, and I'm asking you to do a work in this part of my heart and in this area of my heart and my life. God, I'm asking you to cleanse me, and I'm asking you to bring change. To me, that this is what brokenness simply means. It simply means giving things over to the Lord that surface in our hearts. Now, with this in mind, I just want to say a few things about brokenness. First of all, I want to say when it comes to giving over issues of the heart, sometimes it's just not a one-time giving over. Sometimes it's just not a one-time coming to the altar. Sometimes these things can resurface in our heart over and over again. Things like envy, jealousy, things like our anger, they can come up. They can resurface again and again. So as they resurface, it's not a one-time giving over, but it's a continual giving over to the Lord. It's a continual recognizing these things that are surfacing and asking the Lord to do a work in this area. God, I yield this to you, and God, I ask you to do a work in my heart. And as we do this, I like what Sister Catherine said the other day. She said, as we submit to the Lord, God does his work within our heart. As these things surface in our heart and we submit our heart and our life to the Lord, God does a good work in these areas of our heart. Now, secondly, I want to just bring out that this being able to give things over to the Lord, this is a wonderful opportunity we have from the Lord. You know, talking to a lot of Christians, they do not know that they can give things over to the Lord. They do not understand that when things surface in the heart, we can give them over to the Lord. And so we sort of feel like, well, this is just the way that I am, and these are the things that can't change. But the good news is, as we give them over to the Lord, God will do a good work in our heart. God will do a good work in our life. It is a wonderful blessing of the Lord to be able to walk in this, to walk in this. I found out in my own life, when you're truly hungry for God, when you're truly hungry for God and truly love the Lord, the dealings of God are so satisfying to your soul. Even the dealings of God itself, when God begins to deal intently with things in your heart, there's just something so satisfying about that. I come to find out that the dealings of God are like bread. It is so satisfying to the hunger of your heart when God begins to deal with the issues of your heart, when God begins to deal with the things in your heart. When you truly love the Lord, there's just so much meat in that. It's very satisfying to the heart. And also just want to say that going through these seasons of yielding and giving things over to the Lord, if you truly understand your place in Christ and who you are in Christ, the times of intent dealing of the heart, it's not a heavy time. It's not a gloomy time. It's not a time of condemnation. Why? Because we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When we give our heart to the Lord, we are perfectly made righteous in the eyes of God. So when God begins to deal with the things of our heart, we should never lose our rest. We should never believe the voice of the accuser, because he will come to accuse. We should never fall into condemnation and feel like, well, I'm so wretched in the sight of God. No, no. When you truly love the Lord and you're born again, God says you are absolutely pleasing in my sight. You are accepted in the beloved. You are acceptable and pleasing to me. So when God is dealing with these things within our heart, we should never, never lose our rest. We should never come out of our rest, because we are made right with the Lord. Now, let's just ask a question. Why does God want to deal with the issues of our heart? Why do things surface and he desires that we give these things over to him? Well, first of all, for our growth, for our Christian growth. God wants us to mature as believers. He wants us to grow up as believers. And the dealings of the heart is a part of that process of maturing in the Lord. God deals with our heart for one reason, because he wants to change our hearts. That's why he deals with our hearts. There's the power of God is working within our lives, working through the issues of our heart and changing our hearts. Secondly, God deals with our heart because he wants to transform us. It's the desire of God's heart that we be Christ-like. Every single one of us in this room have a destiny according to Romans 8:29, and that is to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So the Lord works in our heart and he deals with our hearts because he's bringing that transformation in our lives. But I think probably the biggest reason the Lord wants to work in our hearts is because he wants to heal our hearts. See, a lot of these issues cause our hearts to be racked with pain. A lot of these issues cause our hearts to be racked with fear. I think about bitterness. Wherever there's a bitter person, they're a fearful person, because fear always accompanies bitterness. Torment always accompanies bitterness. When we are a bitter person, a resentful person, we are a miserable person. And so the Lord wants to deal with the issues of our heart because he is a loving father who wants to heal our hearts. So the Lord deals with these things that are in our hearts. But here's what I want us to understand this morning. We can close our hearts to the Lord. Everything from complacency to stubborn pride can shut our hearts to the dealings of God. We can come to a place where we can refuse and resist the Lord's dealings in our life. We can come to a place where we resist and refuse to give things over in our heart. And I'm not saying that this morning to frighten us this morning. I just want us to make us aware that it is very possible to resist the dealing and the workings of God within our heart. It's very possible to do that. Now, looking at our opening text, we opened up with Jeremiah this morning. And let me just reiterate what's going on in Jonah chapter 1. God comes to Jonah and he speaks to Jonah and he says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach to the people of Nineveh repentance. Jonah, it's my heart to forgive them. It's my heart to have mercy upon them. So Jonah, I'm sending you to preach to Nineveh. But the Bible says that Jonah absolutely refused to obey the word of the Lord. Now, there's a few reasons that we can give why Jonah refused. There's a few reasons that I heard. We can say that Jonah was a patriot, that Jonah truly loved his people, and the Assyrians, the Ninevites, were a very cruel people who were an enemy to Israel. We can say that. But ultimately, when you boil it all down and look at this, when you look at it, what you ultimately see is there was a bitterness in Jonah's heart toward the Ninevites. Jonah had a bitterness in his heart. Now, this is what I want us to understand, and this I want you to hear this. I want everyone to hear this because this is the crux of the message. This is the whole crucible of the message. The issue here with Jonah, the issue here isn't Jonah's bitterness. The issue here is what Jonah did with his bitterness. That's the issue here. And it goes with the same way with God's people today, and it applies to each of our heart. When things surface in our heart and our lives, the issue isn't really those things that surface in our hearts. But the issue is, what do we do with these things when they surface within our hearts? What do we do with these things? See, let me explain what I'm talking about. When God came to Jonah and he said, Jonah, I want you to go preach to the Ninevites. I want you to show them that I'm having mercy upon them. Jonah, I want you to reveal to them that I see their sin, but I want to forgive them. What God was doing to Jonah, what God was doing for Jonah, is God was showing Jonah his heart. God was saying, Jonah, my heart is one of forgiveness. Jonah, my heart is one of long-suffering. Jonah, my heart is one of having mercy. So in the light of this revelation, what should have happened in Jonah's heart? When Jonah saw his bitterness, Jonah should have said in his heart, God, I see my bitterness. I see my resentfulness. And God, this is not according to your heart. God, this is not according to your way. This is not according to your nature. God, this is altogether different, unchristlike. So God, I see it in my heart. So the Lord, I want to ask you to cleanse me. And God, I want to give this over to you. I want to yield to you my heart. God, I want you to work in my heart. I want you to work in my life. God, I don't want this bitterness and resentment in my heart because it's not after your heart. See, the issue here isn't really the bitterness in Jonah's heart. The issue here is what Jonah did with his bitterness. We have to give things over when they surface in our heart. We can't harbor them and keep them. It's a giving over to the Lord. See, we too can refuse to give things over to the Lord. We can justify these issues. We can make excuses for these issues. We can allow pride to harden our heart and resist the Lord's dealings. We can allow pride in our heart that says things like, I'm right and everybody else is wrong. But ultimately what we are doing is resisting the Lord and stifling His power working in our hearts. Ultimately, that's what we're doing. And looking at Jonah's case, again, it was bitterness. And you know something? Bitterness is something that we can so easily justify. It's something so easily that the people of God can justify. Lord, I have a right to be bitter. Lord, I have a right to be resentful. God, this person deeply wounded me. This person deeply hurt me. Or Lord, I have been treated so unfairly, God. I have just been treated so unfairly. God, I have a right to be resentful because I'm the victim here. But brothers and sisters, we have to understand bitterness is not the Lord's heart. It's not God's heart. God's heart is to forgive. God's heart is to have mercy. So again, my question is, when bitterness rises up in our heart, that's not really the issue. The issue is, what do we do with our bitterness? What do we do with our anger? Do we give it over to the Lord? Or do we allow that bitterness to take a root in our heart? To take a root in our heart. Now, with this understanding, I just want to look at Jonah's life and see the tragedy that occurs when we close our hearts to the Lord. There are many things we can glean here, but there are just three truths that I want to look at. When we close our hearts to the Lord, when we shut our hearts to the Lord and we don't really be honest with God and get honest with God about things that are in our heart, when He tries to put His finger on something and deal with something in our heart, there are some very tragic things that this can lead to, and we see it in the life of Jonah. And I just want to look at these things. I have three things here. Number one, again, go with me to Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Just stop there. The Bible says that God began to speak to Jonah. And because Jonah didn't want to give this bitterness over to the Lord in his heart, the Bible says that he ran away from the calling of the Lord. Now, to me, this is one of the tragedies when we begin to close our heart. Eventually, it leads to running from the will of God. That's where it eventually leads. It leads to running from the will of God. It leads to running from those places where God wants to do a work in our heart. It leads to running from those places that the very hand of God Himself had planted us to do a work in our heart. When we close our heart and we don't allow God to deal with our heart, this is eventually where it leads. Brothers and sisters, hear me. There are a lot of people in ministry today who are in ministry, but they're not in the perfect will of God. They're in ministry, but they're not in the perfect will of God, because God was wanting to deal with something in their heart, but they closed their heart to the Lord. They weren't giving over any more of those things that were in their heart to give over to the Lord. And eventually it led them to running away from the place that God Himself had planted them to do a work in the heart. Brothers and sisters, this is a very dangerous thing when we close our heart to the Lord, when we don't allow Him to deal with the issues of our heart. It leads to running away from those places, going somewhere else, looking for greener pastures somewhere else. But that is not God's heart. When God begins to deal with our heart and begin to deal with the things within our heart, our part is we need to get honest with God and say, yes, Lord, this is what is in my heart, and that Your grace is sufficient to work in my life. And the answer is not running away. The answer is not moving to a new place. The answer is staying planted right here and allowing the Lord to work in our heart. Very tragic thing. There are many ministers who are in ministry, but they're not in the perfect will of God because they ran away. They went somewhere else. They moved because they didn't want to give over to the Lord. Secondly, look with me at Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Now I want you to go with me to verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10. It says, And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. Chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, brothers and sisters, this is what I want us to see. I think this is one of the greatest tragedies when we close our heart. I think this is the greatest tragedy when God begins to show us things in our heart, but we don't give them over to the Lord and allow the Lord to work in our heart. We close our heart. It's very easy to see here that Jonah is angry. And then when you look at it, it's very easy to see that his anger is geared toward the Lord. His anger is directed toward the Lord. And to me, this is probably the greatest tragedy. There is a bitterness that eventually gets rooted in our heart, and that bitterness is towards the Lord. We may not want to confess that our bitterness is towards the Lord. We may want to blame it on everyone else. We may want to blame it on our husbands. We may want to blame it on our wives. We may want to blame it on our leadership. We may want to blame it on the person that we work with and the boss that we work with, but ultimately, our bitterness, it's not really towards them. Our bitterness is from the Lord. There's a bitterness in our heart towards the Lord. And we can refuse the dealings of God. We can justify the things that God is trying to get at in our hearts. But when we do this, a deception comes in. And we start seeing God with a warped view. When we become bitter at the Lord, we begin to start seeing God with a warped view. Instead of seeing God as a Father who loves us and wants nothing best for His children, He loves us with that Father, we start seeing God as a heavy taskmaster. We start seeing God as someone who's always taking and He's taking and He's taking and He's never giving. When we allow that bitterness to sit in our heart and we close our hearts up from the Lord, it does warp the way we begin to see the Lord. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I have seen that. I have seen people who had this bitterness in their heart toward the Lord, and they begin to get very angry at God, and they begin to accuse the Lord of always taking and always taking and always taking and never giving. Totally warped view of the Lord. And the reason why, a lot of times the reason why this happens is because usually the Lord didn't give us something that we want. I have seen that many times. I have seen somebody really want something in their heart and the Lord didn't give it to them, and they just get a warped image of God. God is always taking. He's always taking. He's always taking, and He's never giving. But brothers and sisters, if we truly had eyes to see the inheritance that He has given us, we would know that God has given us much. He's given us intimacy. He's given us forgiveness of sin. He's given us deliverance. He's given us a change of heart. He's given us a purpose to get up out of bed in the morning. He has given us much. But when you allow that bitterness to sit in your heart, it will totally blind you to the blessings of the Lord. And we'll get so focused on that one thing, and it will totally warp the view, the way that we see the Lord. The tragedy with Jonah is he didn't give his bitterness over to the Lord, and eventually it led to an anger in his heart towards God. Tragic. Let me show you one more thing. Go with me to Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4. We're going to read verses 5 through 11. Jonah chapter 4, verse 5 says, "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted, wished he himself to die, and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.' And God said to Jonah, 'Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd?' And he said, 'I do well to be angry even unto death.' Then said the Lord, 'Thou hast had pity on the gourd for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it to grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle?'" This is what I want us to see here. Because Jonah's heart was closed to the Lord, Jonah couldn't feel the Lord's heart. Jonah couldn't share the Lord's heart. God's heart was to have mercy upon Nineveh. God's heart was to be long-suffering and great, and grant Nineveh repentance. But Jonah wasn't able to share that part of God's heart. And eventually what happens when we begin to close our heart, we're no longer able to feel the burden of God's heart. We're not able to share the things according to God's heart. And another thing I have seen simply in this story is this. Jonah was more concerned about his own need than the need of the Ninevites. Listen, Jonah was more concerned about having shade from the sun than seeing the Ninevites repent and be restored. He was more concerned about having shade from the sun. And this is what happens when we close our heart. We become a very selfish person, consumed by our own needs, with no heart for other people who are suffering. That's what happens when we close our heart. We become a very selfish person, so concerned by our own needs that we cannot see how other people are suffering, and we cannot see the needs of other people. We can't. See, brothers and sisters, when we close our heart, this is what I want to say. When we close our heart, it will eventually kill your desire for ministry. When we close our heart, it will eventually kill that desire in our life to give our life fully to the Lord so that He can minister to the needs of people when we begin to close our heart. Brothers and sisters, the body of Christ is full of people that were once walking in the calling of God and ministering in the calling of God, but something got in their heart, a bitterness got in their heart, an offense got in their heart. They were offended about something, and instead of giving it over to the Lord, they harbored it in their heart, and eventually it killed their desire to serve the Lord. Very sad. It's very tragic. These are just a few things that happen when we close our hearts. When we close our heart. Now I want to end by looking at God's mercy upon Jonah. Not in the message, but just in this part of dealing with Jonah. I want you to go with me back to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 15. Jonah's on the ship. We know this story. Jonah's on the ship. They come to find out the reason why they're in this storm. The sailors of the ship, the reason why they're in this storm is because Jonah's running from the call of God. Verse 15 says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Brothers and sisters, what I want us to see is this whale, this big fish, was the mercy of the Lord. And how I want to bring this out is I want us to understand the reason why this fish swallowed and consumed Jonah wasn't just to take Jonah to Nineveh. The reason why this fish consumed and swallowed Jonah was to get Jonah's eyes to be open to see where his bitterness was taking him and to begin to call out upon the name of the Lord. Chapter 2, Jonah chapter 2, the whole chapter is about Jonah crying out to the Lord. The whole chapter is about Jonah chapter 2, the whole chapter is about Jonah crying out for the Lord's mercy. And brothers and sisters, what we have to understand is when we close our hearts to the Lord, but we begin to see our lives being consumed. Because listen, when we close our hearts to the Lord, eventually it is going to affect every aspect of your life. It's going to affect your relationship with your spouse. It's going to affect your relationship with your children. It's going to take the peace of God from your home, and the peace of God is going to be replaced with strife and turmoil. When we begin to close our hearts to the dealings of the Lord, it eventually touches every aspect of our lives. But the mercy of God is this. When we begin to see our lives being consumed, we can call out upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord will heal us. We can call out upon the name of the Lord, and the Lord can begin, as we come back to opening our hearts to the Word of God, the Lord can begin to start putting things back in order. Our relationship with our spouses and our children, and removing the strife from our home and bringing back the peace of God and the rest of God upon our home and our hearts. Listen, when we see ourselves being consumed by the circumstances of our life, listen, our marriages don't have to go down the toilet. Our relationships with our children don't have to go down the toilet. Our ministry and call of God upon our lives doesn't have to go down the toilet. The mercy of God is we can call out upon the Lord, and the Lord will heal us. It's the mercy of the Lord. Is it possible to have a heart that's tender and pliable to God's hand only to become hard in heart and refuse His working in our lives? Is it possible? It's very possible. I want you to go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Look at a man named Asa. 2 Chronicles 15 verse 7 says, be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak. This is a prophet of God talking to Asa, for your works shall be rewarded. It says, and when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. So it says here that Asa took heart, and he listened to the instruction, and he put away the idols. So in other words, what I want us to see here is Asa had a heart that was pliable. Asa had a heart that was tender before the Lord. Asa had a heart that was open to hear the word of the Lord, to hear the word of God. His heart was open. It wasn't closed. It was an open heart to hear the instruction of the Lord. But sadly to say, something happened in this man's life. Something happened in this man's life. I want you to go with me to chapter 16, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Then we're going to go to verse 7. Verse 1 says, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and out of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, there is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. Now go with me to verse 7. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the city of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou did not rely on the Lord, he did deliver thee out of their hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose hearts is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with them because of the saying, and Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. So what do we see here? We see something has gotten into King Asa's heart. There's a bitterness that has gotten into his heart. There's a resentment that has gotten into his heart. There is an offense that has gotten into this man's heart, and he has closed his heart from hearing the word of the Lord. Where one time his heart was pliable and open to hear the instruction of the word of the Lord, now we see an anger getting in his heart when God comes wanting to confront something that's in his heart. We see an anger here in his heart. And listen, this is what I want us to understand this morning. One of the things I have learned is being a Christian. One of the things I have learned is offenses are going to come. They're going to come. To each one of our lives, offenses are going to come. Someone is going to say something that's going to deeply wound and hurt our heart. Someone is going to misunderstand us. Someone is going to treat us in a way that we believe is unfair. Offenses are going to come to our heart. At other times, we're going to be reproved because we need to be reproved. There are going to be times we're walking with God and our leadership or someone who has that authority is going to come and they're going to correct us and they're going to reprove us. They're even probably going to rebuke us at times. But being we have this old sin nature, we have to deal with, when those times happen, that old pride sometimes is going to try to rise up and harbor a resentment in the heart. Because it doesn't like to be reproved. So the question isn't, are offenses going to come? Offenses are going to come. But the question is, when offenses come, what do we do with these offenses? What do we do with them? Do we harden our heart? Do we hold it in our heart? Do we hold that grudge in our heart? Or do we take it to the Lord? We say, Lord, this is in my heart. And this is not after your heart. This is not after your nature. And God, I refuse to hold it in my heart. I refuse to be bitter in my heart. I refuse to hold something in my heart against my brother and sister in the Lord. I refuse it, God. And by faith, Lord, I give this over to you, God. I ask you to cleanse me. God, I ask you to work in this area of my heart. God, I ask you to heal me. I ask you to open up this prison door of anger and resentment and bitterness. God, I give this over to you. The question isn't, is offenses going to come? They're going to come. The question is, what do we do when those offenses come, when these offenses come? That's the question. Let's look at the mercy of God in Asa's life. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 12. It says, and Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. So the Bible says here that there was a disease that came into Asa's feet. And when you read this scripture and really look at it, you can see it is the Lord's heart to heal this man, to heal this man. When it simply says, he sought not the Lord for his healing, you can just hear God's heart in that. It was the heart of God to heal this man. But the Bible says that he sought not the Lord. But I want you to see the mercy of God here. What is the purpose of this disease in this man's feet? What is the purpose of it? The purpose of this disease in man's feet, in his feet, this disease in this man's feet, is God is trying to bring a humility in this man's heart. So he'll open his heart to the Word of God again. See, if he's going to go and seek the Lord for his healing, he's going to have to open his heart again to hear the Word of the Lord. That's what the Lord is after. He's trying to bring a humility into this man's heart so he'll open his heart to begin again to hear the Word of God and allow God to deal with the things that are in his heart. But what was Asa's response to the mercy of God? The Bible says instead of going to the Lord and seeking his healing from the Lord and opening his heart to hear the word of the Lord again, the Bible says that he went to physicians. Now, I've heard a lot of people say the reason why King Asa did this is because he didn't have faith. He didn't have faith in the Lord, so he went to physicians. But when you read this story, that's not it at all. It's not that King Asa didn't have faith. That's not the issue here at all. The issue here is this man, he just didn't want to humble himself and open his heart to hear the word of the Lord again. King Asa knew that if he was to go and seek the Lord for his healing, that gentle voice that he knew was going to again come to his heart and begin to probe his heart and begin to probe the things that were in his heart and begin to deal with the bitterness that was in his heart. Asa didn't want that. You see the mercy of the Lord here. And I believe there are many people in the body of Christ, there are things going on in their lives, there's things going on in their marriages, there's things going on in their ministries, that God, He wants to heal, He wants to open prison doors, He wants to bring deliverance, if they would just begin to open their heart to hear the Word of God again and allow the Lord to deal with the things that are in their life. But because we don't want that, we allow our marriages to go down the tube. We allow our ministries to go down the tube because we just don't want to open our heart and hear what God wants to say. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Amen. Before I end this message, because I do have a word, a good word of hope I want to end on. But before I end with it, I want to show you what I believe is the biggest cause in the church today of a closed heart. I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Verse 14 says, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true, witness the beginning of the creation of God. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." When we look at the scripture that we just read, there are a lot of truths that we can glean from what we just read, a lot of things that the Lord is speaking. But this is just what I feel in my heart to bring out. The Laodiceans were not cold and they were not hot. They were lukewarm. So in other words, these Laodiceans were complacent. That's what it means. They're complacent. They're in apathy. They really have no passion in their heart for the Lord. The Lord says here very plainly, if you read it, he's really saying, I wish your heart was hot. I wish there was a fire burning in your heart. I wish you were passionate about the Lord. But because they're lukewarm, these are people who are a complacent people. And this is just my thought. Because these Laodiceans had no real passion in their heart for Christ and their hearts were complacent, they didn't really care what was in their hearts. They didn't really care about the issues that were in their hearts. Beloved, when we are a people who are complacent, when we are a people who are in a place of apathy with God, we are people who are indifferent about the things of God, we don't really care about what's in our heart and the issues that are in our heart. And I believe in the body of Christ today, I believe that is one of the reasons why so many hearts are closed, is because we're just in apathy and we're indifferent about the things of God, and therefore we're not really concerned about the things that are going on in our heart and our lives. We have a closed heart. Because these Laodiceans weren't truly passionate about Christ and the things of God, most of them went to church out of obligation and not because they really had a desire to be there. Many of them sat in church or Bible classes looking at their watches because their hearts were not interested in what was really going on in service. Deep in their hearts, many of them didn't want the Spirit of God to move because they wanted to get out of the service as quick as they could because there was just something else they would rather be doing. These are always the symptoms of a complacent heart. These are always the symptoms of a people who have issues in their heart that God wants to deal with, but these people really are indifferent toward these issues and they really don't care they have issues. If we recognize that we have a complacency in our heart, God is very loving and very merciful, and if we truly recognize that we have complacency in our heart, we need to pray. We need to ask God, God, give me a passion for Christ. God, give me a passion for the things of God. God, give me a passion to have you come to my heart and deal with the things that are in my heart and life. And God, change me and transform me. We need to pray for that passion in our hearts. When I'm in a service and I see watchers, now let me just share my heart here. People are just always looking at their watch. You know what that tells me? If there's life here and God is really moving here, that just tells me that there's a complacency in that heart. We're not really interested in what God is doing. There's something else I would rather be doing. That's a complacent heart. And if we recognize that complacency in our heart, God does want to give us a fire. He does want to give us a passion. And if that desire is there, God wants to do it in our heart. If there's something in our heart that wants to pray, God, I want a passion for Christ. You didn't put that there. God put that there. And that is one prayer He will answer if it comes from a sincere heart. I believe in this age of the church today, complacency is the biggest reason we sit in pews with a closed heart. It's amazing. We can hear a word right from the heart of God, hear a preacher preach right from the heart of God with anointing, and it doesn't move our heart. Complacency. And we need to recognize it. And say, God, I don't want to sit in a pew with a closed heart. When you're speaking, I want my heart to be like a sponge and absorb everything that you have to say and change my heart. I want to end with this. Go with me to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Verse 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. His tender mercies are over all His works. So what is this telling us here? This is what it's telling us here. The dealings of God are not harsh. When God deals with our heart, when God deals with our lives, and our hearts are really open for the Lord to work, the dealings of God are not harsh. One of my favorite verses says, it's the gentleness of God that makes me great. Whatever I become for the Lord, whatever the Lord does through my life, it's because His gentleness was very abundant upon my life. So in other words, what I'm saying is you do not have to be afraid of the dealings of God. You do not have to shrink back and be timid the dealings of God. We don't have to be afraid to fully surrender and abandon our hearts to the Lord and say, God, work in my heart the way that you want to work in my heart, because God is not harsh with His people. If our hearts are sincerely given to the Lord and surrendered to the Lord, God will be very gentle with His dealings. And you know what? When God deals with your heart in the way that He deals with your heart, it only makes you love Him that much more, because you clearly see His heart and the way that He deals. And it just truly makes you want to love Him that much more, because nobody's like God. David said, I don't want to fall in man's hands. I want to fall into the hands of the Lord, because your hands are so much more gentle than the hands of man when my heart is truly open to the Lord. I believe surrendering your heart and letting God work in your heart, that has a lot to do with intimacy with God. Falling in love with God. Stand with me this morning. Now let me just pray with you, you that have come. Lord, we don't want a closed heart like we see in the life of Jonah. God, Lord, we want an open heart. We want an enlarged heart. God, we want a heart that when things do come to the surface of our hearts, anger, envy, jealousy, God, we want a heart that gives over, Lord. A heart that says, God, I see this, and I know it's not after your nature. God, I ask you to cleanse me. God, I ask you to work in my heart. God, I ask you to make me more like Jesus. God, I'm not going to justify these issues. I'm not going to excuse them. I'm not going to give them place and let's let them sit dormant in my heart. God, I'm going to give these things over to you. God, I believe as a church we are in a place where you're going to deal very intently with our hearts. The biggest reason is because you want to heal our hearts. God, I just pray that we would all have an open heart. An open heart. A heart that gives over, Lord. God, resting in our righteousness, Lord, that as you deal with our hearts, there's still a rest in our life because we know we are absolutely made righteous through Christ. God, and as we rest in this righteousness, Lord, we invite you, we ask you to come deal with our hearts. God, as you do this, Lord, just make us those bright, shining lights. Give us that fruit of Christ that others can taste and see that the Lord is good. God, whatever we do, we give you all honor. God, whatever you do in our heart, whatever you do through our life, we give you all honor and we give you all glory. God, the only cry within our heart is this, Jesus, you be exalted, you be glorified through my life. Shine through my life. Lord, we love you this morning and we give you glory. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good. God is good. Bow with me as I close this morning. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your presence, God. We value your presence. Your life that you breathe into our hearts is priceless to us. It is the greatest treasure that we possess, is Christ and the life of God, your presence. We thank you, Lord. And Father, I just pray that as we go now, Lord, that you would just be with every traveler. And God, everyone in here, God, continue to ignite our hunger for God. Work in our heart to hunger for Christ. Lord, we give you glory and honor, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.